Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Pleasantville author has come home, and he has some stories to tell. Let's go in-depth with Jerry Kirkpatrick, formerly of Pleasantville. So, Jerry, where are you from?
Well, back far enough, Pleasantville. Grew up in the that area and graduated from high school there. Went to the University of Iowa for 8 years until my father said I needed to get a job. And decided that I'd scooped my lifetime quota of snow and started venturing around the country here and there. Took a detour through Florida to thaw out. And now I've been in Oregon, near Portland, for the last 40 years.
And sitting in front of us are three books, three political thrillers, it looks like.
People ask me to put a label on them, and I've sort of differentiated between mysteries and intrigue, and intrigue is probably closer to thrillers. They're not really mysteries. In a mystery book, I think most people think of whodunits and try to figure out who the murderer or whatever was as they read along. Mine aren't really mysteries in the idea that you don't really, there's not a killer that you wonder who did it, but they're more political things, things like bribing senators, a terrorist going to assassinate the president, the first woman president, by the way. And the reader pretty much knows ahead of time who's who. And I think the reader kind of enjoys thinking, I know the answer ahead of everybody in the book, that they don't know who the bad guy is, but I do, you know. And then I'm just anxious to see how it plays out.
Okay, so we know who did it, and then we get all caught up in the discovery, the capture of the bad guy.
Yeah, and it's all not obvious. The first book, for example, President's Pardon, as I say, about the first woman president of the United States, who's not a very nice person, and a woman terrorist is planning to assassinate her, but Madam President intercepts and secretly makes contact with the terrorist ahead of time. So when the terrorist arrives at Lincoln Center in Washington to shoot her during a performance, the president has made arrangement for the terrorist to shoot and kill her husband instead, who's sitting beside her in the audience. So the reader doesn't know that little twist until the very end, but all the time the reader knows who the terrorist is and what's supposedly happened. And in fact, I try the one mystery part is I try in each one of these novels at the very end to have a twist that hopefully nobody anticipated.
Well, one of the things I've always wondered is oftentimes the twists seem ingenious. And how do people figure that out? What's your thought process in getting that twist at the end of the book that's so good?
Well, now you've hit on the question my mother asked. And she still lives in Pleasantville, Virginia. Everybody knows her. When my first one came out and she read it and she said, Where did you come up with all these things? And I said, just my imagination, you know. But in fact, one of the things I'm going to talk about at the Pleasantville Book Club Saturday morning is where virtually all writers, at least of fiction, including me, of course, kind of have three sources of where their ideas come from. One is their personal experiences. One set of mine has to do with dealings of Washington, of course, and also in my work and interest, I had a chance to travel a lot of the world, and particularly Southeast Asia, so, and South America and some other places. So you'll see probably half the chapters in these books are set in Singapore and Bangkok and Guam and Argentina at the Tango Club and so forth. So experiences. Then just factual sources of information that you embellish, the internet being the main one these days. So I have a chapter in here that takes place at the Pentagon, and in my going to D.C. and my work a lot, I went by the Pentagon many times, which is kind of halfway between downtown Washington, D.C. and National Airport, but I'd never been in it. So, you know, you can go on the internet and, oh, well, here's a video tour of the inside of the Pentagon. And so if I wanted to talk about walking down the hallway, as I do in one of the books, and going by the pictures of 36 generals hanging on the wall looking down at you, well, saw that in the videotape on the internet. Makes it easy, pretty easy. And then finally, imagination is simply you do imagine things. In the book about the terrorists, you don't find out. Well, you find out along the way that the terrorists are training in Cambodia, and I've never been to Cambodia, and basically, I imagined what the terrorist camp is in Cambodia, and I've been to Bangkok, so I imagined how you get to it from there, and eventually the military dropping down ropes from helicopters to get to it. And when people question the accuracy, sometimes I have to just get to the point of saying, it is fiction, you know. I'm not writing the great historical epic. So if there's some things wrong, in the newest one, Connecting Dots, it's about a Nevada developer who has come by a huge piece of desert land in central Nevada, and he's going to build the biggest new city in the gambling city in Nevada there, bigger than Reno and Vegas combined. And so he, in order to make it feasible, people who have been in that area will see that Interstate 70 comes across from the East Coast and ends in the neighboring state. It's like 400 miles from where it ends there up through the middle of Nevada to Reno. So he's bribing senators to appropriate money to extend the highway to make his city possible. I've never seen this central Nevada desert and so forth, so I could look at a map and imagine where the mountains were. Must be there. But when the book came out, my cousin in Pleasantville, first words were, where are they going to get the water to build this city? Hadn't even dawned on me about, oh, water's a problem. And that's when I resorted to, it is fiction, you know.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with author Jerry Kirkpatrick, formerly of Pleasantville.
Well, so with it, if it's fiction, you just make up the water. There's plenty of water.
Yeah, well, it wasn't my concern in the book. You know, I didn't have to be concerned about whether or not it's feasible to have a new city of a million people in the middle of the Nevada desert. Now, the point of the book was bribing senators in But it is surprising to me some of the things that people note and bring up and say, yeah, this really isn't very logical kind of thing. And I pass those off.
So did you grow up writing? Were you a born storyteller? What's the deal?
In a way, yes. I guess I was one of those lucky kids who, by the time they got into high school, knew I was going to be a newspaper journalist. And it's funny, I went back and looked at the Pleasantville High School yearbook for my class back then, and every one of them, under your picture, it had what they predicted you would be when you grow up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had forgotten until recently, I looked back, and mine was that he's going to own a string of daily newspapers in the state of New York. Well, close enough. But when I was a freshman in high school, I started working at the Marion County News and worked there in high school. And that didn't create my interest in being a writer as much as it was consistent with what I had really already decided. It's kind of a interesting side story and maybe lesson for kids who are starting high school these days. The very well-intentioned superintendent in Pleasantville at the time, of course, became aware I was going to start working at the newspaper. And they started me out learning to run the linotype, which most people, unless you're older, don't even know what it is. But in those days, there were no computers, and so anything printed had to be set in lead type, and the linotype with the keyboard is what was used to do that. Well, every daily newspaper, which made a lot of money, had to have a whole room full of linotype operators who were unionized and made very much money. Anyway, after I'd worked on the Pleasantville paper a little while and they started letting me write and do some other things, the superintendent called me into his office and he said, "Don't you let them do that. Make them keep you on the linotype because you'll have a good paying job forever." Well, those jobs haven't existed since computers appeared 20 wow. years ago, you know. So it's just a lesson. It's tough to not be short-sighted in what you think you want to do. Anyway, I spent 8 years at the University of Iowa as a student, and some people may know the Daily Iowan has a great reputation. I was editor of the Daily Iowan when I was a senior. And stayed on and worked in the publicity department at the university while I got a master's. And that kind of got me sidelined away from newspaper reporting. Looking back on it, I'm disappointed I let myself be sucked in by a little more money because newspapers didn't pay much to their reporters in those days. In fact, another sideline, my first newspaper reporting job was at the Muncie Evening Press in Muncie, Indiana. And for those not in the field, Muncie Evening Press is one of the daily papers owned by the Pulliam Group. Well, Mrs. Pulliam is Dan Quayle's mother.
Oh, okay.
And I joke now, I said, the reason the Quayle family has so much money is they didn't pay the reporters anything. Anyway, that detoured me into higher education, university publicity. I could rationalize that was a worthy writing job. I wasn't selling refrigerators, and so I pardoned anybody that sells refrigerators, but in my mind, I had a little grain of being noble in my mind, and went to the University of South Florida when it opened in the early 60s. It was the first new university in Florida as they started expanding beyond Florida, Florida State, and Florida A&M. So it was the first integrated university in Florida. And again, I was being a little idealistic and wanted to go to South Florida where they were starting the integration of the South as far as Florida was concerned. But then I'd moved around a lot, and I thought, well, I'm tired of Florida. I'll go to, had a chance to go to Oregon when a new company was opening. It was an educational research company, and they needed a communications director. And it was growing, and one day the boss, who was very impatient, was stomping around about some personnel problem, and he said, I hate personnel problems. One of these days we're going to be big enough, we're going to have a lawyer. And I happened to be standing beside him, and he turned to me and looked at me and said, why don't you go to law school? And I thought, well, it's not a bad idea. And I was lucky enough that they continued my pay while I went through law school. I was still kind of working, but on the other hand, when people ask, depending on who they ask, I sometimes say that was my midlife crisis because I was in my 30s by then, and stayed there until I retired.
And now you're writing
now
books.
I'm writing about those things.
Yeah. You're writing books. You're not out on the golf course.
That's kind of an inside joke with some of my son-in-law's brothers and sisters who are golfers and bowlers.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with author Jerry Kirkpatrick, formerly of Pleasantville.
Well, and you've got an event coming up on Saturday, you mentioned. Could you tell us a little bit more about that in Pleasantville?
I do. The Pleasantville Library, if you haven't been there, it's Pleasantville is extremely lucky that back in the mid-50s, a widow woman, Cora Shadel, who happened to own a lot of land up near Des Moines, died without husband, kids, and so forth, and set up a trust fund which funds the library as well as the park there is named for her son. And the Pleasantville Library hosts the local book club meeting, and they meet once a month, and their meeting this month is this Saturday from 10 to noon. And is open to the public. It's not a closed group. Anybody is invited to come, and we'll have a very informal chat. We'll talk about whatever people want to talk about and answer their questions. And if we end up with time left near the end of the 2 hours, I have in mind trying to get people to help me write my next novel. I kind of have in mind the first chapter, which would be loosely, and I emphasize loosely, based on an event in Pleasantville back in like the 40s when one of the local merchants, Owen Shadel, who the library is named after, was robbed walking home after closing his business one night to their home, which is near the library there, and was murdered in the process, even though the intent wasn't that. And my idea is that, departing from reality totally, somebody probably saw that happen and didn't come forth for some reason. So I thought maybe people at this event could help me. Now, who might have seen it and why might not they have come forward until maybe years now later, for some reason, that's starting to come out.
Well, that sounds like fun.
I hope it would be fun. And fun for me.
And the event will be at what time?
10 to noon, Saturday morning, October 13th.
So come if you want to have some fun and get a chance to hear you read from your book.
There may be a little refreshments. And in one of my previous books, the first one, there is an event based on a real event that takes place outside of Pleasantville at a farm where there is an annual pig roast to raise funds for a certain U.S. senator who, incidentally, is the grandfather of the first U.S. woman president in my novel, lives in Milo, announced her nomination on the courthouse steps in Warren County in Indianola. And at this pig roast, the Pleasantville Methodist Church ladies have a booth selling pie for to raise money. And in reality, the women always regularly did have a booth at farm sales selling pie and so forth to raise money back years ago. And two of the main characters, including the future president, both love lemon meringue pie, which is on sale that the church ladies baked. And the people now, reality in Pleasantville, planning this event Saturday, joked when they were talking about having refreshments that maybe they could get the women at the Pleasantville church to bring lemon pie for people. But don't hold us to that.
Thanks to Jerry Kirkpatrick for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.